Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to call the April 19th meeting of the House Transportation Finance Committee to order. First order of business, Representative Johnson, we have some minutes to be approved.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move the minutes for April 18.
Thank you. Any comments on the minutes? All those in favor of Representative Johnson's motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by the same sign, the minutes are approved. Thank you. Well, we're here to mark up the bill today, folks. So we have a number of amendments. I expect we can get through them in good time and get our work done today so we don't have to come back tonight. In general, some of these amendments are dealing with issues that we did not hear in committee. In those cases, we will be taking brief testimony so members can get a better understanding of exactly what these issues are. Issues that we've already dealt with in committee, we will just take comments from members, not any testimony. Any questions about the procedure for today? Seeing none, the First Amendment up is going to be the 825. No, I'm sorry, not the 825. The A13. The A13, Representative Hornstein, I believe, is the author, and you have a testifier with us.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Yes, this has to do with extending a pilot program that was passed in 2014 related to signage in two harbors. It was not controversial then, but I'd like to have our esteemed member from Hermantown present this issue to the committee.
Thank you, Representative Hornstein. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Representative Mary Murphy, District 3B, and Two Harbors is part of District 3B. And we came before you in 2014 asking for permission to do signage for the local businesses in a different manner than Duluth or DOT rules allow. As a result, my proposal turned into a pilot program, and it's a very successful pilot program, and the people in Two Harbors are very happy. The people in Two Harbors are so happy that they are cooperating with DOT on several other things. And when the district engineer was here to visit a couple of months ago, he said, do you think you could get the date expanded for the pilot project? And I said, I'm not used to going in front of the Transportation Committee, and it's not really easy, but I certainly will try. And so this amendment is my try, and I'd appreciate your cooperation.
Well, thank you, Representative Murphy. I'm afraid, Representative Murphy, I have a bone to pick with you, because about a year ago, the Star Tribune had this beer thing where they had started with 16 and they got down to one, and the Shell's Brewery came in first. And they did a repeat this year. And could you tell us the results of that?
Yes, I could tell you that it's a brewery in Two Harbors.
Uh-huh. And do they have a sign on the road?
Well, it's a very, very popular place.
Well, Representative Murphy, you know, maybe we could just, you know, we have two number one beers here now, the Shell's Brewery in New Ulm and Dangerous Man in Two Harbors. You know, we maybe should decide which is first among the first. And that might help decide how this amendment
Mr. Chair, I wasn't even thinking about beer if this is in the bill. I was thinking of cookies with peanuts in them like Grandma used to make. But
the way to a man's heart.
We could talk about beer. We could compare beers.
We'll reserve that for another day. Any questions? Representative Hausman has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I can speak with first-hand experience about how important that sign is. I used to be so frustrated as I went through Two Harbors and wanted to go down to the water, and I always wondered, well, which corner do I turn? And I'd always guess, and then I'd kind of wind my way down because I knew it was down there somewhere to figure out how to get to the waterfront. But without a sign, it was always a bit of an adventure. And so the sign has been a big help.
A little bit of a danger, even. You might even turn into a castle or something. You just don't know. But the sign makes it a lot easier.
Thank you. I don't see any other questions. All those in favor of the A13, any more discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A13 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Ow.
I have to go get a beer.
The amendment is approved.
I don't think anyone's going to top that, for being funny.
Give his old gavel back.
Man, it's too big. It's too big. Okay, back to work. We're going to move on to the A2 amendment, Representative Rarick. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know he's missing all the fun. We'll skip the A2 for now and move on to the A5. Who's that? Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that we add A5 on to the bill.
Would you like to tell us what the A5 does?
Absolutely. Mr. Chair, so this is about the ability, not quite as exciting as Representative Murphy's signage thing, but this is a signage thing for farm wineries. After this is really it's technically a technical change, but after it went through a couple committees, it was a little bit unclear as to which department. Some of the wineries are licensed under Department of Agriculture, and so we're just including that just to cover. This does not change the intent of the bill whatsoever, just clarifies it so that it goes where it's supposed to go.
Thank you. Any questions for Representative Miller? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A5 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The A5 is adopted. Next, I have the A7, Representative Lucero.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the A7 amendment would delete the section of the bill having to do with salvage titles. We had a robust conversation on this, I think, when it was in a standalone bill in front of this committee. And those conversations with Representative Kosnick have continued. The spirit of the language is a healthy one, good intentions, and we've been having good conversations, and the Representative Kosnick and I, as we continue to work through this, there are opportunities to make changes to the language to prevent some of the unintended consequences that the current language would cause. And because those conversations are continuing, it is my intention to withdraw the amendment, but Representative Kosnick, again, has I'll let him say a few words if he has any.
Oh, I'll do that. Oh. Representative Kosnick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And members, I appreciate Representative Lucero's discussion and issues that he's brought forward, but I just want to remind members that this provision, it will stop or severely limit title washing and cars with unknown histories from entering our market. And secondly, the intent is that it provides an important consumer protection by putting buyers of used vehicles on notice of a car's salvaged or damaged history. And Section 22 would align Minnesota with 35 other states by eliminating a loophole which will allow damaged vehicles to be sold with clean titles. From the Attorney General's website, How Are Titles Hidden? Fraudsters use a combination of cheap cosmetic repairs and title washing or laundering to hide a vehicle's past. Unscrupulous dealers who often move previously totaled cars and trucks through several states until the vehicle obtains a clear title or a wash title. Additionally, as stated in the testimony in your packets from Legal Aid, to quote, everyone, no matter what year car they seek to buy or what income level they are at, should have the right to know whether or not that car has been in an accident that either compromises its safety or lowers its value. So if you think a buyer of a $6,000 car should be informed that it has had $5,000 worth of damage, please continue to support this provision. And with that, I appreciate the amendment author removing his amendment. And I do remain open to improving this important consumer protection, but ask for your continued support of Section 22. Thank you.
Mr. Chair. Representative Lucero withdraws the A7 amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, Representative Lucero.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to those comments, again, I just want to reiterate, the spirit of the intent is a worthy one, but the language as written, as was just cited here, was the title washing. As this committee can recall, when we had the department in front of us, DVS, and in my numerous conversations regarding to title washing, nobody has explained how current Minnesota law is permitting actual title washing, going from a salvage title to a clean title. But if that's happening, we definitely want to ensure that we stop that. But part of my concerns are the current language, because we haven't identified how that's happening, we can't be certain that the changes as proposed are going to address an issue that may or may not exist, since it has yet to be articulated by anybody, including the department, how that's happening. So again, for that reason, there are concerns, but there's still an opportunity for us to make improvements to ensure consumer protection, while at the same time not having an overly broad, expansive, unintended consequences for Minnesotans. So thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Kosnick, for the continued discussion.
Thank you, Representative Lucero. Moving on to the A2, Representative Rarick.
Mr. Chair, I'm not going to offer the amendment at this time.
The A2 is not being offered. On to the A8, Representative Daniels.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I won't spend a lot of time because this bill was presented on March 26th by Representative Petersburg on my behalf. Thank you, Representative Petersburg, for doing that. This involves having some signage for the deaf and blind school in Faribault on Interstate 35. We've had many discussions with the DOT, and we are so close to a solution that they are willing to work with us on this one. And just give you just a brief history on the school. It was actually an idea before Minnesota was a state. After the Civil War got done, the very first year that Minnesota was a state, in the very first legislature, they actually voted in the deaf school for the children. So it was actually the first session that was done. So to me, it's historic value. It's also personal value. My oldest son graduated from the deaf school in 1999, and just a quick background, public school, he was a D-minus student, bench warmer on the football team or on the junior varsity team. When he graduated from the deaf school, A-minus student, and was voted the best defensive player in the nation for the deaf school. So school has a lot of potential to take these kids from a really low point in their life to raise them up. And I could, if we brought testifiers here today, I'm sure we'd come up with about 100 families that have a similar or same story as that. So I just appreciate the opportunity to present the amendment, and I know I'll be working with the DOT to get the details down, and ask for your support.
Thank you, Representative Daniels. Any questions for Representative Daniels? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A8 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by the same sign. The A8 is adopted. Moving on to the A9, Representative Howell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And members, the A9 has to do with volunteer drivers. Our Minnesota volunteer drivers, it's a major component in greater Minnesota for getting people to their doctor's appointments and getting them where they need to go. Our volunteer drivers have supplemented the rural public transportation program for literally decades. They donate their time, and they've received the standard federal mileage reimbursement so they can maintain their vehicles. It's the ideal solution for transit systems in small rural Minnesota towns that are often located over 30 miles from the major medical facilities. It costs an average of about $60 an hour to maintain and operate a public transit vehicle. That's replaced by a mere 53 cent a mile reimbursement with no cost incurred when the vehicle's idling. In my area alone, Rainbow Rider volunteers donated almost 3,000 hours in 2017, driving almost 87,000 miles.
That's okay.
If that would have been done by the transit community and in the transit system, it would have cost almost $180,000. That was replaced with just the cost of reimbursement to drivers at 54 cents a mile for $46,000. It's efficient and cost effective. How did we get into this situation? The struggle began after the Department of Revenue sent a letter to the systems last spring advising them that they either had to pay the 54 cents a mile rather than the charitable rate of 14 cents a mile, and if they'd paid the 54 cents a mile, they had to do a 1099. So if you get a 1099, you got to pay taxes on that 1099 if you earn over $600. DHS sent an email to the transit systems last year that the systems were required to pay the 14-cent charitable rate, not the 54-cent rate. Prior to that time, the charitable rate had been understood to apply to the volunteers that do some driving while volunteering. Issuing the 1099s to volunteer drivers has caused another problem. Some insurers are considering the driver a for-hire carrier, thus increasing the insurance rate on the volunteer drivers. It's kind of a double whammy against the volunteer. Current law, the volunteer's personal vehicle can be considered a commercial vehicle if considered a for hire. So DHS has begun to take the lead on this issue and was expected to work on the legislation, but didn't pursue it. So this is affecting our rural transit systems. It's an issue that we've got to address. If unresolved, this problem will lead to fewer options and much higher costs for the public transportation systems. No money's paid to the driver other than the direct reimbursement. So what's happening is we've got legislation right now being tried to do at the federal level to get that volunteer reimbursement from 14 cents to 53 cents so it's all equal. But this bill, what it would do is not require that 1099. It wouldn't be considered taxable. So that's the meat of the amendment. If anybody's got any questions, I'm here to answer them.
Thank you, Representative Howe. Any questions for Representative Howe? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to make actually a comment, I guess, but I can turn it into a question if need be. But this is an issue where I live, too. The volunteer drivers, I can't overstate the role they play in keeping people mobile in our community. And there's an organization called Vine through which it's operated, which is growing into a transit system, and they're still depending on volunteer drivers. This is a good bill, a good amendment. I strongly support it.
Representative Howe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, the problem with the bill is it hasn't gone through Commerce to deal with the insurance deal. It hasn't gone to taxes to deal with that. So at this time, Mr. Chair, to keep us from delaying this bill anywhere, I'll withdraw the amendment.
Well, thank you, Representative Howe. Important issue that I hope we can deal with in some fashion later. With that, we'll move on to the A14, Representative Hausman.
Mr. Chair, I don't intend to offer that amendment. I'll speak later to the issue of equity.
Okay. Representative Hausman withdraws the A14, is not offering the A14. We'll move on to the A18, Representative Runbeck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The A18 amendment deals with Anoka County. Currently, historically, it has been paying their share of the subsidy of operating costs for the North Star Commuter Rail. They are currently sitting with some reserves in their Regional Rail Authority account, but under current law, they aren't allowed to use that for transit. but this is a one-time situation. The reserve money will be spent in one fell swoop, basically, to use it here just once for their subsidy for the commuter rail. They have very little ability to control the costs of all of this, but they are required by law at this point to continue to pay their share of the subsidy. Last year, Dakota County, which also owned a similar rail, was relieved of their responsibility to pay a subsidy for the operating costs under the CTIB dissolution agreement. So Anoka County is kind of the only ones sitting out there with this requirement. But they do have some money in reserves, and this amendment would allow them to use that this year for the operating costs.
Thank you, Mr. Ruttenbeck. This was not heard in committee. I believe you have a testifier. I think we should hear from the testifier to have a little more detail on this before we vote. Welcome to the Transportation Committee. Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Rhonda Sivaraja, and I am chair of the Anoka County Board of Commissioners. As Representative Runbeck stated, current law does not allow us to use Regional Rail Authority funds to pay operating costs for North Star. So currently, we are sitting with reserves within our Regional Rail Authority with little ability to actually utilize those funds. So what we're asking for is that for one time, essentially, any reserve funds that are sitting there as of January 30th of this year, that we would be able to utilize those to pay for our North Star operating costs. And so that's essentially what the amendment would do. It would give us the flexibility to utilize this. And we, if for some reason we didn't expend those, this again would expire January of 2021. So this is just a one-time situation that we're asking for consideration.
Thank you, Commissioner. Representative Hausman has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so these funds are used to pay operating and maintenance costs of North Star Commuter Rail. So what happens to that gap in their funding?
Commissioner Sivaraja.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Hausman. We currently cannot use Regional Rail Authority funds to pay for North Star operating costs. We can only use the sales tax revenue to pay for North Star operating costs. So essentially, we will continue to pay our share of North Star operating costs. Just where those funds come from in this one particular situation, it would come from Regional Rail Authority reserve funds rather than from the sales tax dollars that we're collecting.
Commissioner, could you tell us how you ended up with a reserve, with these reserve funds in your Regional Rail Authority?
Absolutely, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Previously, property was purchased with the thought that we would need that property for future rail stations. Once North Star actually was up and running, those stations were no longer part of the plan. And so we had some excess parcels around one of the stations in Coon Rapids, which we have been able to sell to a developer who is building affordable housing next to that particular station. So we've been able to have money come back into our reserve account because we were able to get that back on the tax rolls. We also had property at the Foley, what was going to be a Foley station. The federal government was not inclined to allow us to have a station there. And property had been pre-purchased. So what we did was, once again, we thought it was in the best interest of the taxpayers to sell that property, get it back on the tax rolls. And as a result, we have those dollars that also came back and are sitting in reserves.
Thank you. Any other questions for the commissioner? Any final remarks, Representative Runbeck?
No, I just urge support. Thank you.
Thank you. All those in favor of the A18 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? By the same sign. The
Thank
A18
you.
Amendment is adopted. Next, we'll do the A15. Representative Bernardi, I believe you have an amendment to your amendment. The A20. No, that's a. I'm sorry. I'm doing the wrong one. The A18 or the A15. Representative Bernardi. I'm getting ahead of myself again.
Yes, I would like. I'd like to move the. I would like to move the A20. I should have been paying more attention to you, too, but I would like to move the A23 amendment for the A15 amendment, and then you want me to do the A23 amendment after that?
Now, we're both confused, Representative. I believe the A18 is a standalone amendment, if I'm not mistaken. No, I'm getting double confused. The A15, I believe, is a standalone amendment.
Okay, so... Let's
deal with the A15 first.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative.
Thank you. So this is a very important study that needs to be done in our community. I don't know if anybody is familiar with Highway 47 that goes through southern Anoka County to further up in Anoka County. And it was a bill that did not get a hearing, but the authors on the bill are... include Representative West, Representative Uglum, Representative Runbeck, Representative Kegel, Representative Scott, Representative Barr, Representative Whalen, and myself. When the bill came out and there were two other studies done, and MnDOT talked about those yesterday, the commissioner did, and about how they're not needed. They already have done studies on it, and one was more for a local connection, I believe what they said. I don't know exactly how they said it. I thought there were earmarks for it, and this is a really important study that I would say that it's even more important than those studies. And the reason I'm saying the importance of it is people are literally dying on that roadway. Pulling out some of the news articles, on June 1st of 2017, 70-year-old Spring Lake Park woman dies in friendly vehicle pedestrian crash. On October 19, 2017, Blaine car semi-crash kills 19-year-old man. November 17, 2017, pedestrian dies in crash at Spring Lake Park intersection. March 1, 2018, pedestrian dies after being struck by vehicle in Fridley. People who live in the state of Minnesota ought to expect to have some sense of safety and being able to make it to their homes after they are commuting and traveling about on their roadways. There are more people that have died. I've attended a funeral of a young boy who went to our local school, a close friend of my neighbor's. He got killed traveling across University Avenue on a skateboard. Another man in the so recent past, it seems like it was about a year ago, I'm not sure the exact date, he died at 57th Avenue as being a pedestrian. Talked to the city manager today, more people have died in car crashes and pedestrian crashes throughout this corridor. And frankly, it's an area that's in transition. There's transit-oriented district in there. And how the city manager described it to me today is how I understood it, is that this roadway functions at 50 and 55 miles an hour in an area that's actually becoming an urban-type area. It doesn't function in the environment that it's in. And so I would like to propose and ask members to support this amendment to have a study done on this roadway so we can move forward and make it safer for everybody who uses that roadway, whether they're visiting or they live in the district.
Because this is a new issue that we have not heard in committee, I'd like to hear from the Minnesota Department of Transportation. Welcome to committee. Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Scott Peterson from MnDOT. Representative Bernardi's right. There are serious safety issues on this corridor. What I found out this morning is we've had 8 fatalities in that area in the last 18 months. So as a result, the department's actually been working out there in this corridor, working with the Fridley Police Department, and we're doing a safety analysis this summer, and the outcome of that safety analysis will result, we think, in the installation of some crosswalks, some new retiming of signals so that pedestrians have more time to get across, and we'll put in stop bars so people don't encroach on the crosswalks. We're also going to install video cameras out there to monitor what people are doing out there, because apparently people are crossing in between the where they should be crossing 47. And then currently in fiscal year 20, we're going to build a fence and do some landscaping along one side of 47 in order to help dissuade people who want to cut in between the signals, cut across, because apparently there's a lot of people that try to get across to catch the bus and stuff. So at the same time, we're working with the city to identify things that take longer to do, like pedestrian overpasses, which of course take a little more money and a little more time to develop. We're also having a conversation with Met Council to confirm what the future should be for Trunk Highway 47. Should it be a commuter route, or should it be more of a major collector for that part of the city? And that has implications for Trunk Highway 65, which is a parallel corridor in that area. And so we need to, you know, make sure we fully understand the implications of trying to redirect commuter traffic. So all that is to say that we're well aware of this problem. We're actively working on it. We've been communicating with legislators that represent that corridor, and like Representative Fiegel and Senator Newton. And so all that having been said, we would still oppose having an earmark for that study. We think the process by which we'll undertake this study will find the resources, and we're already committed to doing these things I've identified, and we're going to continue to do that until we fix the problem out there.
Thank you. Representative Barr has a question.
I think in light of what the testifier just said, I will pass, because I was just going to ask what more would we learn, and it sounds like you know a lot about this already, and you're well aware of it and working to resolve the issue, so I will leave it at that.
Thank you, Representative Barr. I don't see any other questions. I would just say that, you know, thank you for bringing this issue forward, Representative Bernardi. I would also say that this would really kind of throw the bill out of balance. I believe the department is addressing the issue, and I would suggest we vote no on the amendment. Representative Bernardi.
Mr. Chair, what I'd like to do is ask if this doesn't, if these deaths don't improve over the next year when we come back, that we look into it further to see what kind of funding we have, and to help support this effort and to move it along quickly. Been working on this corridor for quite a long time, trying to get it safer, and there's been some good and bad experience working with MnDOT on it. So what I'd like to do is hopefully this will all work out and we'll make people safe on this roadway. And if it doesn't, I'd like to revisit it next year and make a proposal then. So I'd like to withdraw it.
Thank you. Representative Bernardi withdraws the A15 amendment. Representative Hausman, did you have a comment?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I wonder, since he's up there at this moment, whether I might ask a question about the Daniels amendment that we added. I wondered about it at the time, and could I just...
Yes, that'll be fine. Representative Hausman.
Well, Mr. Chair, when Representative Daniels described that, it sounded as though he was saying, we're making good progress with MnDOT, we're almost there, and I almost thought at that point you, too, were going to say, so we'll continue working on that, but then we voted on it. And, of course, you always wonder about unintended consequences. If you were almost there, does any of the language become an obstacle to being almost there?
Mr. Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Hausman, my understanding is that the almost there just means in one of the directions, I don't recall which one, we don't currently have room for a sign. And so we're looking at moving a sign in order to make space for the sign, and that's the part that's undecided at this point. I think overall we're in agreement about what we want to do there and where the signs need to be placed.
And Mr. Chair, none of the language here gets in the way of that then.
Mr.
Chairman, Mr. Representative Hausman, no, that's correct.
Yeah. Representative Costner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Bernardi, I just wanted to express as an Anoka tornado that grew up in Anoka County, I'm familiar with that area that you speak with, and I support the intent. Share the chair's concern about the dollar amounts, but I'm glad to hear that the department has a game plan to address that, and I'd be willing to work with you next year to make sure that they provide some better, safer roads for you in that.
Representative Bernardi, quickly.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Koznick, for that endorsement of helping us along this roadway. And I look forward to our continued work with MnDOT to actually get these measures in place quickly and that really benefit the community and that aren't just because this is the way MnDOT does it and this is how fast you have to go, can't do, improvements to make people like slow down in the area and those sorts of things. So I'm looking forward to making this happen, and let's all be successful together, and if not, let's come back and work together. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
We'll move on to the A-10 amendment. Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Again, this amendment is brought to you late in the game. We did not have a hearing on this, as this just came to my attention here really just a couple of days ago. I have a testifier that will be joining us as she makes her way down, Jean Spaulding from the Quam Construction in Wilmer. This actually relates, members, to the hours of service issues that we might have heard about before with some trucks that are hauling longer trips, and they have the limited hours that they can drive. And Ms. Spaulding has a testimony that she should tell, and I will, with this amendment, Mr. Chair, I also have an oral amendment that I'd like to add. Would you like that before the testimony or after, sir?
Let's get the amendment in the shape you would like. Representative Baker, what is your oral amendment?
Thank you. My oral amendment to number 10, members, is on page 1, line 9, 1.9. After the period of materials, we're going to add after that line, getting rid of the period. Within an area having a 50-mile radius from the site of construction or maintenance project. I'll see that again for the minutes. Page 1, line 1, before the period, insert within an area having a 50-mile radius from the site of a construction or maintenance project. And this has been vetted from our friends at DPS and DVS to make sure that they are okay with this. This was a potential problem with some federal funding, and we were able to work out this, so I appreciate the agency's help on that. And with that, Mr. Chair, that's my amendment to the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Baker. I'm going to have Mr. Burris repeat the amendment just to make sure we've all got it clear.
Mr. Chair and members, so I have page 1, line 9, before the period, insert within an area having a 50-mile radius from the site of a construction or maintenance project.
Thank you, Mr. Burris. Members, any questions on the amendment to the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the amendment to the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by the same sign. The amendment is amended. We will move to the testifier. Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. My name is Jean Spaulding, and I am with Quam Construction, located in Wilmer, Minnesota. And I want to thank you for the time this afternoon to hear this issue. It's an important issue for our company because we're an underground utility contractor, and we work in communities throughout Minnesota, mostly in greater Minnesota and smaller cities, where we are the company that comes in and is either going to rehabilitate or do total reconstruction of the underground utilities, the sewer, water, wastewater systems. And what the issue is for us is the hours of service, as was being interpreted, is that our drivers typically are working in a construction zone. Oftentimes, they're driving with a crew between a gravel site, the site of construction, and maybe a spoil site. So the distance that they're often traveling is very limited. And the concern was is that, you know, we certainly don't want to put our employees and or the public at any safety concerns. However, for us to complete our work and to meet contract deadlines, and especially these small cities, we're being very disruptive. We are ripping up roads and businesses and residents right in front of their houses and access to their homes, and it is really quite a pain. We like to get in there, get out as quickly as can, and, of course, they want us to do that as well. Our concern was that there is currently an exemption where road construction contractors are exempt from the hours of service, and we just want a clarification. And we were feeling, you know, we want to make sure that we're compliant with the laws and are training our drivers correctly, but felt that that we should be included in that, and and we're told that we weren't. So we wanted to, we felt this would be a good way to clarify it for contractors, and so we're requesting your support for that.
Thank you. I think it'd be good. I do want to hear from the department or somebody, somebody official.
Officer Olson is official.
Thank you. Welcome to committee. Please identify yourself and proceed with the testimony.
Chairman, members, Captain Johnels, the Minnesota State Patrol's Commercial Vehicle Enforcement Section. I appreciate the partnership and working through this amendment and then the amendment to the amendment. It will put or keep us in compliance with the federal regulations. Misinterpretations on what qualifies as sand, gravel, bitumus. I think the real issue was the tear out being done prior to putting a road in was covered or not covered, and the language makes that clear.
Thank you. Any questions for the testifiers? President Stout.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is this adequately defined so that we are not opening a doorway for somebody to be hauling stuff willy-nilly across state? Is this defined to a, like, I know the 50-mile radius definition is an attempt to do that, mm-hmm. but is there any leakage left in that current definition so that we can make certain that we haven't opened a great big hole, is really, particularly for enforcing?
Thank you. To the testifier.
Mr. Chair, Representative, yes, we believe that this is solid. The 50-air mile is very clear. It should not open up at this to be a statewide, I can drive from Cloquet to Worthington, and that's not what's going to happen here.
Very good. Any other questions? Seeing none, any final remarks, Representative Baker? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A-10 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by the same sign. The A-10 amendment as amended is adopted. We'll move on now. We'll try the 820 again, Representative Bernardi. And I believe this time we do have an amendment to the amendment, the 823.
Yes, thanks, Mr. Chair. I would like to move A20 amendment, and I will talk. Would you like me to talk to that or have move my second amendment?
I think we should get the amendment in the shape you would like by moving the A23, Representative.
Okay. I'd like to move the A23 amendment, and Mr. Burris can talk to that.
Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair and members, the A23 amendment to the amendment would eliminate a reduction in the amount being transferred out of the general fund. That's not necessary with the amendments. Language that makes other adjustments in the funding, so the transfer amount does not need to be changed with this amendment.
Thank you, Representative Bernardi. Moves the A23 amendment to get the A20 in the shape she would like. All those in favor of the A23 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by the same sign. Your amendment is amended, Representative Bernardi, to the A20 as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A number of us in this legislature have a goal of getting the line, the North Star line, all the way to St. Cloud, and I would like to find a way in which we can move forward together without hurting the line itself. And so what this amendment does is it deletes the section on the North Star commuter rail negotiations and inserts a study and reports and a report on the extension of North Star commuter rail from Big Lake to St. Cloud. And the $850,000 comes from reduction in the suburban transit provider funding, but there is money still left in that. There's still money left in funding for suburban transit in the operations and those sorts of things. And that, you could correct me if that's not correct, one of our researchers here. And the important thing, I was just talking to my community today, and the part in this bill that's proposed in this bill that's not very helpful is it actually takes away it gives MnDOT and whoever's doing this work to negotiate with BNSF or to take away service along the line, which when you take away service along the line needs more service, not less, and communities are working hard to get more service on that line, and to take away service is only going to make it less beneficial and less ridership even to get to St. Cloud. So this proposal is a way to look at it holistically, not hurt the line, and develop a plan in which we can actually fund the North Star line all the way to St. Cloud. And members, I'd appreciate your support on this.
Thank you. Any questions for Senator Bernardi? This is an important issue, but I'm suggesting a no vote. All those in favor of the A20 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by the same sign.
Aye.
The amendment fails. Next, we have the A18, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move the A18-0810.
Thank you. Representative Johnson, does this one have an amendment? I don't remember.
Yes, Mr. Chair, we do. That's the A25, and I'd like to move that to get the amendment in the appropriate condition.
Representative Johnson moves the A25 amendment to get the A18 into the shape he would like. All those in favor of the A25 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by the same sign. The amendment, the A25, is adopted to the A18 as amended. Representative Johnson.
Yeah, thank you for hearing this amendment, members. This is a situation that arose recently in Mankato that is a tough situation for us. We've got the history of our area is severe flooding problems. Consequently, we have a levee. The levee has a slight break in it, and FEMA, in reviewing its maps, as it renewed its maps recently, as they updated the maps, determined that the levee that has the dip in it needed to be repaired and brought to the proper height. And if not done so, the residents in Lower North Mankato, which houses a population of about 4,000 people, a lot of small homes, would have to have flood insurance. The problem comes, and the reason we're before this committee is, guess where that levee is? It's underneath Highway 169, a state highway. And so the community's been working diligently to find funding to provide that, and the purpose of this amendment is to help provide a state share to do that. To better explain this, I'd like to ask the city managers from Mankato and North Mankato to come forward.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. Please step forward, have a seat, identify yourself for the record, and go ahead with your testimony.
Mr. Chair, Pat Hinchis, Mankato City Manager.
Mr. Chairman, my name is John Herrenstein. I'm the City Administrator of North Mankato.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, essentially, Representative Johnson really succinctly explained the problem, but this break in the levee exists across the right-of-way of Highway 169 as you enter Mankato at the 14 interchange. We put in a temporary levee at a point in time when the water reaches close to the 100-year flood. We built that levee across the highway right-of-way. It was determined by FEMA through a recertification process that it was deficient at the sill level, at the highway level. And they had directed us really one of two options. We can pay flood insurance for a greater part of North Mankato and Mankato that exists on the other side of that levee at Highway 14, or we can essentially reconstruct it, raising the highway by approximately 6 inches to a foot, depending on the location. So accordingly, we've been working with the local Department of Transportation officials. That construction cost is expected to cost Mankato, even though it's all in the highway right-of-way, about $1.6 million. Again, the construction of this will occur all within the highway right-of-way. There's a very small local cost that we would occur to some utilities. We would be basically reconstructing 800 feet of four-lane highway to bring it up to the proper height. A couple other issues that just worked on this. This is an emergency request from the standpoint that it's unbudgeted, it was unanticipated. Department of Transportation, District 7, reconstructed about $20 million worth of highway work in 2015 and 169 for the very purpose of bringing that highway out of the flood, 100-year flood level. And at that time, it was not known by them or by us that this levee would have been needed to be reconstructed. The irony in all of this is we still will put an emergency levee in place, at least for the near future, 10 years or so, until that interchange is constructed. Then we'll basically be looking at a more permanent solution at that time. Mr. Herrenstein.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I believe that Representative Johnson and Mr. Henches have adequately described the situation. I'm here to offer our support for Mankato's request as representative of the City Council, North Mankato, and I can stand for any questions if you have any.
Thank you. Any questions, members? Representative Kosnick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the testifiers, can you clarify for the committee where the funds are being requested from and who's impacted by that request?
As far as our local funds, Mr. Chair?
Representative Kosnick.
Mr. Chair, no, the funds that you're requesting of the committee.
As we understand, we're asking, Mr. Chair, we're asking.
I'm going to move to Representative Johnson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks for the question, Mr. Representative Kosnick. What we did is, as you can see in the bill, it reduces the total amount going into the Highway User Trust Fund by the $830,000. And so it's not an earmark out of the trust fund, but it is general fund money that would be used to construct the road. That's actually, again, to be clear, the city has this, again, remember this is a state highway. And the city is asking that the state pay half of the remaining costs, and the city accepts the responsibility for the remaining half.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. I'm going to move to Mr. Lee for a more accurate, more thorough, I should say, explanation of the finances. Mr. Chair and members, the amendment on line 1.22 reduces the transfer, the general fund transfer from general fund to HUTD by the $830,000 amount. And the amendment to the amendment clarified the corresponding spending reductions in the local road system, so that decreases the Kassan MSAS appropriations by about $341,000, and the rest is decreased from the Trunk Highway Fund. Now, the Trunk Highway Fund, after all of the spending in the DE amendment, still had about a $10 million unreserved balance in the Trunk Highway Fund, and that's over and above the Trunk Highway reserves. So this would decrease that balance from $10 million down to about $9.5 million.
Any questions for Mr. Lee?
Follow-up?
Representative Kosnick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, committee, I'm looking at this, and thank you for the explanation. That's what I thought, that the dollars are coming from, being taken from the formula and re-diverted to a specific thing. I appreciate the, it wasn't necessarily the choice you're doing of the local Mankato area and stuff, but the funds are kind of hop-skipping to the front of the line to compete or to not compete with all the other projects that we all have in our own districts. And so I have concerns that other districts are being shorted on this and just kind of coming in the last minute, and therefore I don't support the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Kosnick. I would just add that this, in my mind, is similar to some other issues we've addressed in the past, and also in this bill. In the past, we had a situation in Red Wing where the city was responsible in a way that we didn't wasn't any fault of their own, so to speak. Also in Virginia, in this bill, we have a similar issue that we're trying to address. I felt this fit into the kind of the same category, so I do support the amendment. Any final comments, Representative Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would appreciate the support of the committee for this emergency situation.
Thank you. With that, we'll vote on the A18 amendment as amended. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The amendment passes. is adopted.
As amended.
As amended. The amendment, as amendment, as amended, is adopted. Oh, my. Not supposed to do that. With that, we're going to move to the A11. Now, the A11 amendment was not in your packets originally. That was an oversight. We apologize for that. Representative Runbeck to the A11.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment is requiring a report. For those of you familiar with CTIB, annually they would provide a very lengthy report about their projects, the status of those projects, etc. And this is simply requiring, sort of as a follow-up to their dissolution, that the legislature receive an annual report about the collection of the transit sales tax, how much is raised, how it's expended, and just a summary listing of the projects that it's being expended for. That's basically it.
Thank you. Representative Hornstein, a question?
Sure. Well, just a comment, Mr. Chair. CTIB was a joint powers board, and and now we're reverting back to having this tax, raised as pretty much a local sales tax, just like we would have a sales tax for any number of issues on any number of, specific programs or projects, whether it's county roads or, whatever we use the sales tax for. So I think to just ask for a report, this reporting process for this particular tax, when we have, literally hundreds, if not thousands, of local taxes on all sorts of things, it just seems to me unnecessary. I understand that, again, CTIB did dissolve. It had a certain mission. But now, because of the action the legislature took last year, it really is no different than any other tax. And I just don't think this is necessary.
Thank you, Representative Hornstein. Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Because this was just newly distributed to us, was this amendment publicly posted when the other amendments were?
No, it was not, Representative Hausman.
And the reason I ask is, it obviously affects one one area and one level of government, and I didn't know if they had an opportunity to see it where they might have been able to either be here or respond.
It was an oversight, Representative Hausman. The amendment was received in plenty of time, but we just didn't get it posted. We did take it to Representative Hornstein before we distributed it to the committee today, and he agreed that we could distribute it. I don't know that we have a testifier here that could address the issue. I think it's pretty clear that the CTIB dissolution, in my mind, is a bit of an unusual situation, one that we are all interested in, I would guess, and requesting a report and information regarding how the impact of that decision that we made last year, I believe, is a worthy cause, but I'd be happy to hear more if others have questions. Representative Hausman.
Mr. Chair, it appears, though, because line 1-6 annually means this is going to be not just once, that we're going to ask this entity to always tell us how they're spending their sales tax in some detail because of the word annually.
Mm-hmm. Representative House, or Representative Runbeck.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. You're saying, and I agree, yes, that their county is now separately doing their own thing, but that's somewhat in name only. They are still, developing and implementing a plan that was formerly the plan when they were a joint powers agreement. So, there is a fuzzy kind of definition. And I think in the interest of transparency, in the interest that we know as a legislature we have, because these are large projects and have significant tails over the next 25 years, we have a real interest. And this is just very, very nominal in terms of a requirement.
Any other questions or comments on the A11? Seeing none, we'll proceed to vote. All those in favor of the A11 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No. No.
The amendment passes. A11 is adopted. Thank you. We're on to the A21, Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this 822 amendment came to me from a former member of the Transportation Finance Committee. He served from 2013 to 2014 very honorably, very effectively. And this is in our jurisdiction because it is a transportation issue. It involves a visitation and correctional facilities. I think this is very worthwhile because it's been known to reduce rates of recidivism, and I will have Representative Dean, who brought this amendment to me, very briefly explain the amendment. We're going to start, I think, Mr. Chairman, with the A22. Is that correct?
We can start with either. Apparently, there's a little confusion. We'll start with the A22 amendment.
Oh, apparently, does the committee have an A22?
Oh.
Okay.
Well, then we better start with the A21.
Okay. All right. So I think we're starting with the A21, Representative Dean.
The A21, I believe, is the mama's bill. And yes. Just to make sure that members are not confused, this is not has nothing to do with Mama's Pizza on Rice Street.
It does not, Mr. Chair. And, Mr. Chair, I'm assuming you're running to get copies of the A22?
We're just a second, Representative Dean. Are we? That's one. Yes, we have the A21 in front of us, and it says Mama's on it, and it doesn't mean pizza. I'm ready.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members of the Transportation Committee. It's good to be back. Listen to some of your conversations. I'm trying to decide if I'm glad not to be on the committee right now, but you're all doing yeoman's work, and I know it's a really critical time in our state for our infrastructure. And I know that this bill is a little bit unusual for the Transportation Committee, but as Representative Hornstein mentioned, it does represent transit and a critical part of transit. And the amendment A21 speaks to a program called Mama's Bus or the Unprisoned Project. And this is a new program, and the next one I'll be speaking to you is an existing program. But this program would allocate $320,000 from the Department of Driver and Vehicle Services Fund for paying for this portion. It's for $320,000, as I mentioned. And the whole idea of this particular amendment is that it focuses on mothers, incarcerated mothers in the Shakopee facility. So we know that a mother-child relationship is a critical relationship. We also know that when a mother gets incarcerated, it has a huge impact on the family and on those kids. And the whole idea of doing this is engaging those kids with the incarcerated mother around areas of education and other types of things. We know that when familial relationships are maintained while an individual is in a secure facility, it reduces greatly the amount of recidivism of that individual. So this is a bill that not only is going to be important and critical at the time in which this service is provided, it will have long ongoing returns as a result of the reduction of recidivism. We know that the number one indicator of recidivism for individuals that are locked up in secure facilities is whether or not they have visitation. And it goes even farther when it's visitation by family. So this is going to be a grant that would be for this pilot project. And I thank you for your consideration. And, Mr. Chair, since we're still waiting on the other amendment, I'd open myself up to questions at this time from any of the members.
Thank you, Representative Dean. Any questions for the representative? Representative Mason.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's not really a question, but I happened to have worked at that facility many years ago, and the number of women that have children is substantial, and the impact on the children is huge. So anything we can do to help them is has got to be a big bonus as we go forward. And transportation is getting better out to Shakopee, but it's still not the main. It's very difficult to get people to transportation to Shakopee.
Yeah, and if I could just
Representative
add,
Dean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This transportation is an important part, but there's also programming and other things that happens with the family and happens with the children through this process. So it's not purely transportation, but that's a significant portion of the expense.
Thank you. Representative Rungbeck, I believe, is next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Dean, I'm aware of volunteer projects out at the prison, women, you know, bringing various services, education and beauty tips and kind of cool things like that. Are there programs that would already sort of be connecting moms and kids? How are they doing it now? And, you know, the frequency, you'd think there would have to be frequency, otherwise it's, you know, not very useful.
Representative Dean.
Mr. Chair, you know, there is currently a program, and I'll speak to that in the next amendment. And what makes this unique is the way in which it includes education as part of a curriculum for those kids. And the engaging the mother in that curriculum as well, so that there's that cross-generational learning that takes place between the mothers and those children. So it's somewhat unique in what it's doing, but you're right, there are other types of volunteer programs and other things that we have currently happening throughout our whole corrections facility, but this is focusing very much on a period of time where those children and those mothers, it's important for them to maintain that bond and actually expand that bond around education as well.
Mr. Chair, just to follow up then.
So the
education piece, does that appear in a different bill? I mean, who is providing that piece?
Representative Dean.
Mr. Chair and Representative Rumbeck. As part of this Mama's Bus pilot project, it's an all-encompassing project. So it has the education piece, it has the transportation piece, it has some of the other counseling pieces that would be associated with it, where they engage with the corrections facility as well as those young kids and those families that are out there.
Thank
Representative
you.
Howe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so this pilot, there's not a Mama's Bus project now?
Mr. Chair and Representative Howe, there's not a Mama's Bus project now, but there is another another group of folks, and I'll be presenting that next, called Peace of Hope, that currently provides transit rides, and they've been able to do that through some private funding, but primarily through a federal grant, which is actually expiring.
A follow-up, Representative Howell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you show me where the programming is in the bill or in the amendment?
Representative Dean.
I can't show you where the actual programming is because it's not lined out in the bill, Mr. Chair and Representative Howell. It does speak to the pieces of services that will be provided and what is their intent. There is a program. It's fairly detailed, but we did not bring that to you today.
Thank you. Representative Kozak.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Dean. Thank you. This is an interesting idea. I'm concerned about the use of the dollars being directed from other transportation or transportation-related intentions. So the funds are coming from DBS. Is that correct?
I would actually go to Mr. Lee to explain the financial situation.
Mr. Chair and Representative Kosnick, that's correct. The fund would be appropriated out of the DVS special revenue funds. I would note that sort of a technical point in the underlying bill. That piece of the special revenue fund is being eliminated and reconstituted in the state treasury. So were this amendment to go on, there might need to be some clarification of which fund it's coming from. I think the existing language in the amendment would mean that that would be all right. The fund would, which under the current appropriation level here would have about a $1,043,000 balance, would be reduced to about $723,000 in fiscal 19.
Follow-up, Representative Kosnick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, Mr. Lee, could you give us a general brief overview or reminder what the funds in DVS generally are used for?
Mr. Lee.
Mr. Chair and Representative Kosnick, the funds in DVS are generated through fees on vehicle and driver transactions and are typically used for, are appropriated to the Department of Driver and Vehicle Services for the operations of DVS.
Representative Kosnick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Lee. Representative Dean, I appreciate what you're trying to do. I just think that there's probably more appropriate allocations of state funds in other committee areas, and unfortunately, because of that, I won't be supporting your bill or your amendment.
Representative Barr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm just wondering, if you said this, I apologize. Where would this pilot be taking place? Like, in what city? Because I was wondering if, you know, there was another type of transportation that might apply to this, but I don't actually know where it would be hosted.
Representative Dean.
Mr. Chair and Representative, it's primarily focusing in high concentrated areas of where individuals, large amounts of individuals are coming from. So primarily it would be in parts of Minneapolis and St. Paul, where many of these women and their families live. So that would be the primary focus. But, of course, at any point in transit along the way, there would certainly be opportunities for other individuals to participate in this program as
Representative
well.
Representative Barr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative. Where are they typically incarcerated?
Representative Dean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill, this amendment, A21, is specifically for Shakopee.
Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Dean, there would be one other appropriate place in the bill where there is actually some new money, and that is for the Suburban Transit Association, which I believe serves that area around Shakopee. And this, so there's new money for transit on that line, and this is transit serving Shakopee, so that there actually is a funding source right in our bill that might be an appropriate way to fund this wonderful idea for transit.
Representative Dean.
Thank you, Representative, and I would yield to the chair to speak to that issue at this time.
Thank you, Representative Dean. I'm not going to amend your amendment.
Okay.
Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Dean, I'm just looking at this where it says the funds are available until expended. Are there other sources then that you're looking at through the community? Or what's going to happen if we do this and these get expended? How does the program just end, or what happens there?
Representative Dean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Rarick. No, this is a pilot project. It's quite possible with a very successful project we would be back here at the future, as well as continuing to look for sources out in the private sector to help fund this. It's the type of project that, you know, has a minimal cost at the beginning. The costs would be maintained over time, but I believe, and a lot of people believe, that if we can reduce the amount of recidivism and ultimately make other types of investments out in the community, that we can reduce the need for this type of program. And ideally, I would love a society where we didn't have to fund projects like this.
Thank you. I do not see any other member questions. Representative Dean, I want to thank you for bringing this issue forward. It comes to us very late, and I'm going to suggest a no vote. I'm not trying to diminish the importance of the issue, but at this point and this late date, I'm going to suggest a no vote. All those in favor of the Dean Amendment A21, I'm sorry, the Hornstein Amendment,
yeah,
the A21, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Nay.
Nay.
The amendment fails, is not adopted, the A21. The A22, Representative Dean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. The A22, which is what I had intended to introduce first, we're actually looking for an allocation of $640,000 on this. And this is a program that, as I mentioned, is currently in place. Peace of Hope Transit Rides provides transportation and other services to families primarily in the Minneapolis and St. Paul area that services all of the institutions in the state of Minnesota. So the current structure is set up so that if you have an individual who's a high-risk offender, this is through the federal grant that they currently receive, that if you have a high-risk offender, you can supply those services to family members who may not be high-risk. This bill actually expands it and lifts this whole notion of just providing the services to high-risk individuals. So this is a program that's been up and running for a few years. It's been a successful program, and as I had mentioned, federal funding has the grant program is ending, and we're looking to find the money to continue this program for these families and for these individuals that are incarcerated to, again, promote family bonds, to reduce recidivism, making sure that children and loved ones live life where they're more connected to the individual that's currently locked up in a facility. And ultimately, we know that makes their chances of success much greater when they get out than if these services weren't provided. So I would ask for your consideration relative to this. And, Mr. Chair, I would hope that maybe you might consider this amendment as we move forward, and I'll open myself up to questions at this time.
Thank you. Representative Miller has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Really more of a short comment. I commend you, sure, for the work that you're doing, Representative Dean, and I think these are valuable intentions. My understanding from a previous conversation is that this had actually been in another committee at one time, or something of this sort. Now it's here, and actually now I'm thinking, well, gee, I wonder if this is supposed to be in another committee altogether. And at the risk of having you chase this around, I don't mean to do that, but I do think what's becoming apparent with the last amendment, Mr. Chair, and also with this one is that there's a term that gets used right here that's terribly used, but I almost have to say it here. It may need some work on it. And I think that there is value in what you're trying to accomplish here. And sometimes we have the whole pot of money in the state of Minnesota, and we're trying to find that place for it. But I think that's probably something that needs to still be done, Mr. Chair, I think there needs to be further investigation and maybe a broader plan. I would like to see where the private funds are coming in with this. I think that would be helpful as well. So that's just some comments of where this probably needs to go, Mr. Chair. I don't know that it's quite ready, even though I really support kind of the intentions of what you're trying to do here.
Thank you, Representative Hornstein.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I just really want to commend Representative Dean for this. It's an issue that I hadn't been terribly familiar with, and it's something where, you know, you realize that what we do here in the Transportation Committee has a lot of impact on a lot of different kinds of people, and so and can do a lot of good. And I hope that I saw what happened in the last amendment and the conversation here, and I do appreciate even those folks that are not inclined to support it have, I think, been helpful in terms of not only expressing support but also some procedural issues as well with this. So, you know, given that, I withdraw the amendment, but I do feel that this is something I want to continue to work with you on, Representative Dean, and I hope we can get some bipartisan support, because I think we all have a common goal of reducing recidivism and making sure that these families can stay united. And I appreciate, again, all the comments that members have made, which have been helpful.
Thank you, Representative Hornstein. I certainly agree with you that the goals of this are laudable, And hopefully we, someplace in these facilities, we can figure out a way to address the issue. Any final comments, Representative Dean?
Yes, Mr. Chair and members, thank you. I'm going to keep looking till we can't look anymore. So expect to see me presenting this somewhere else in another committee near you, or at some point bringing it forward on the floor. And I'll take to heart, Representative Miller, what you said about putting a little more skin on this, so it's a little more clear to individuals what it's actually intending to do. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Well, thank you. Maybe next year, next biennium, we'll be back in transport. No, you won't. Well, yeah, maybe you will.
Mr. Chair, the committees could be completely different next year.
It could be. Or it could be a lot alike.
We just don't know.
Representative Koznick, you had a question unrelated to the amendment.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and kind of appreciate the indulgence of being able to go back. My question is on the Representative Rumbeck's amendment, I think the A11. It wasn't on my list. I'm not sure that we talked about it that well when we huddled it previously or kind of went over me, but either Representative Rumbeck or I think it'd be important to have it on the record which counties are actually affected by this reporting, and answer that question first, please.
Representative Rumbeck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
To the previously passed A11 amendment.
Sure. Yes, and so it's referring to the counties that had been in CTIB and have imposed a tax under that statute. So the five counties that are imposing the tax in that fashion as a former CTIB county.
Thank you, Representative Rumbeck. I'm going to suggest that we look into clarifying this amendment when we get to Ways and Means so that it's crystal clear exactly what the intention is. Representative Koznick, any final comments on that?
That's along the lines of my question, Mr. Chair, so thank you. It would be, I understand, the counties of Anoka County that Representative Rumbeck represents, Dakota County, Hennepin, Ramsey, Washington, and Scott, I believe, if we could clarify that. But just because of the bill wasn't posted in the traditional sense, I wanted to have it on the record that those are the counties that are affected by this, and we didn't have much testimony for it, and I have some reservations about that, but I just want to put on the record those are the counties that are affected, and we can talk a little bit about the intent and of the amendment. But thank you for the indulgence.
Thank you for the clarification, Representative Koznick. Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate Representative Koznick's comments, and I understand we had just an error, and there's so many amendments flying around, and we weren't able to get the folks impacted by this to testify. So I know, Mr. Chair, you and I and Representative Baker, I believe, I'm not sure if there's others I'm looking around, are on Ways and Means. I know traditionally the chair doesn't always take testimony, but maybe given the fact that we didn't fully hear it here, we could talk to the chair of Ways and Means about having maybe some brief public testimony at that committee because we didn't have the benefit of it here.
Thank you, Representative Hornstein. I believe that covers that issue. We have, last amendment we have left is the 824. Or did you? Mr. Burris wants to make a comment, I believe, on the A11 first.
Mr. Chair and members, just to clarify, it would be on that amendment, it would be all the former CTIB counties, so it would not include Scott or Carver.
Thank you for that clarification. We'll get that language in order. Then, Mr. Burris, I have an amendment, the A24, that is a technical correction. Can you please explain the A24 for our members?
Mr. Chair and members, the A24 would resolve an issue that arose with some technical changes that were proposed in the DE regarding the motor vehicle weight limits. This goes along with the provision on sewage septic tank trucks, but there was an unintended impact that made a policy change with respect to recycling vehicles. This amendment would eliminate that policy impact, and so it would have the effect so that the other changes in that provision would just be technical.
Any questions for Mr. Burris? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A24 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by the same sign. The A24 amendment is adopted. With that, members, I believe we have gone through all of the amendments, and we are now to the bill as amended. I will move the I got to get this one right. I move to refer to the Ways and Means Committee House File 4160 as amended and direct staff to make technical corrections to conform with the action and intent of the committee. Is my motion, Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just need to say a word about the Suburban Transit Association, which, again, is the favored child. They were last year. We gave them new money last year. They receive new money this year. I chafe under this because, of course, the three suburbs I represent are not part of that, nor is any East Metro community, and many in the South, North, and West. These are just a favored few. This small number of privileged routes. You probably all recall Metro Transit had to fight cuts last year. The future is in jeopardy. And so the frustration about this is there's no equity when we come to what parts of the transit system are we funding and what are we not. And what's particularly surprising to me, because I've heard people be concerned about the level of subsidies per passenger, is we are actually generous to some of the most heavily subsidized routes. And we haven't even questioned that. We haven't even asked to see those numbers this year. So that is an ongoing frustration for me. It is in this bill, and I hope at some point we'll take a look at the history of this and try to determine why have we decided to go down this road. But this is a group that actually got new money. We were generous to them last year. We're generous to them in this bill as well. New money for both.
Thank you, Representative Hausman. Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and just a couple of brief closing comments before we vote. I'm concerned about several things that aren't in the bill. I don't think there's a lot of things that I object to that are in the bill. Here and there, there are a few, but I think we missed an opportunity on a couple of things. Number one, and this was raised yesterday when we had Commissioner Clyburn here, I think we have all had a lot of frustration with Menlars, and we are working this session to correct those problems. And again, I'm very impressed with the new team over at Minute, and I want to support them because it's in all of our interests that this succeed. And so we don't have additional funding for their needs in this bill, and I'm concerned about that, and I hope that sometime between now and midnight, May 20th, we can give them some resources that they need to succeed. Now, the second set of issues or concerns that I have around this bill are the fact that we have a lot of money for roads and bridges, which is always helpful. And I'll save my let's not use general money for general fund money for transportation at a later date. I think there might be a bill coming up where that's more thoroughly discussed in this committee. But and it's totally fine that we have supplemental general fund money. When I was chair, we directed supplemental general fund money to roads and bridges and transit. And that's the problem here. We only have one mode getting general fund money. And there are, I think, a couple of ways we could have supported transit in a modest way in this bill. And number one, I had a chance to take a tour of the D line, which is our arterial bus rapid transit project that will connect Brooklyn Center and the Mall of America. For $75 million, we will have 23,000 daily riders. And I appreciated in Chair Runbeck's committee her comments in support of arterial bus rapid transit. And I think this is something we can all get behind. And that project will get some support, hopefully, in the bonding bill. We don't know. But, you know, there's precedent for giving general fund money and bonding money in the same year. And I was hoping that we could get some support for the arterial BRT program in this bill, even some modest modest allocations of general fund money. We did that on the A line, by the way. They did receive some supplemental money in the past, and again, that has been very, very successful. That is a arterial BRT line in St. Paul that connects the 46th Street station with Rosedale Mall. And then finally, we missed an opportunity to help right a wrong that I think took place last year, which is zeroing out Metro Transit's general fund allocation beginning in the next biennium. And this is about local bus. This is the local bus service in the metro area, not just the cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul, but if you have, if you live in a suburb and are served by Metro Transit, there will be a very significant cut unless we correct this problem. And so we had a chance, again, not to correct that problem entirely in this bill, but I think some amount of support in the supplemental budget for to help alleviate those local bus cuts would have been welcome and would have been appropriate. So those are three areas of concern I have, Mr. Chair, and I just wanted to say that I feel this is a opportunity to have, I think we were the, transportation was the division that got the most money in the supplemental budget, and we had an opportunity to, I think, fund all modes of transportation and help a lot more people. And unfortunately, we fell short and missed this opportunity in this bill. And I'll be voting no.
Representative Baker.
excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I just want to, again, sort of reflect on our work on this bill. However, this year, we found ourselves hearing a lot of bills at the very end, and some we didn't even hear today with the amendments. I think that was largely because of our distraction with MNLARS. That took a lot of our committee time work this year. I especially want to thank Chair Torkelson on his work and his diligence on working through those long nights and working with the Senate about how do we thread that needle to try to find more resources than we wanted to give, quite frankly, into a system that we still aren't quite sure we have a plan forward clearly. And by not having funding in this current bill, I'm okay with, because we need to see some results, and I think we also need to see how Minute and DVS can use other resources at their disposal that I haven't seen them reach out to yet. And notably, I want to mention that the deputy registers are there waiting to help out more. They have been asking to do more. They could take more of the phone support. They can help them with more editing and more clarification. They can do more mail-ins. We want to give them more services. And today on the House floor, we're going to be talking about some of that relief that they're going to get now, finally. But I do want to just, again, for a final shout-out to those folks who have gone through a lot of pain. I also want to thank the DVS and the Minute employees that have gone through hell and back again with this process. And I think a lot of the leadership that we've seen change over has resulted in some very painful moments for us. So just from what we've done here in our work, again, I hope that we can utilize the resources of the deputy registers more. Good work, committee. We were distracted with a lot of emergency issues, and especially to you, Chair Torkelson. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. I'll just make a few comments today. We'll have, of course, more chance to talk on the floor, and this committee will be meeting again. We don't know for sure what time next week, but as you may have noticed, the bill for the constitutional amendment to dedicate transport sales tax dollars to transportation was dropped this week, has a number, and we will be working on that in the coming days and weeks. And so this is not our last meeting. We have more work ahead of us. But I certainly would like to thank the entire staff. I'm not going to name names today, but they all work very hard and do very great work for us, and I appreciate all that they do. I believe we've assembled a very great transportation bill. This to me is a kind of a promises made, promises kept situation. As you may recall, we had a significantly larger bill right near the end of session last year, and we got a pretty substantial haircut. Leadership told me at the time that they would do what they could to replace that if we had a surplus. We have a surplus, and they have stepped forward with a great target for us to work with. I believe that we've assembled a bill that uses those funds very well. I realize there are questions about transit, but I also have some serious questions about reserves and other issues with the Met Council that we need to work through. We did meet the request last year for transit in our bill, and so I think they're in fine shape for the moment. And looking forward, we will take a look at that and address that. And the issue with Minlars, as you know, has been an extremely challenging and difficult issue that I just don't know how to express my frustration with that situation. But we will, we can't pull the plug, so to speak, and so I'm always interested in trying to figure out what we need to do next. I'm certainly not shutting the door, but I'm sending a strong message with this bill that we're not going to throw more money at Minlars until we have more answers and a clear indication of what direction that program is headed and whether or not they can be successful. Members, I'd like to thank all of you for your participation on the committee. I think we've got a great committee. You do good work. I'm not going to go through all the bills, but we have a lot of member bills that have been incorporated into this omnibus bill from both sides of the aisle. I thank you for your patience today. We brought forward a number of issues that we really hadn't had a chance to talk about during our regular committee time, so thank you for your patience and cooperation in addressing those. I don't really like to do that, but I felt they were worthy and worth our time. I'd like to thank you also for getting done in good order today. With that, members, I will renew my motion to refer to Ways and Means Committee House File 4160 as amended and direct staff to make technical corrections to conform with the action and intent of the committee. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The bill is passed. Members, we're adjourned for today.